Israel, not long after God would save them from another one of their stupid decisions, he started out thanking him. Didn't take him too long to forget, did it? In fact, he warned Israel, "Don't let the people forget what I have done. Tell each generation what I have done." And I wonder if we have failed in that too. What is going on with the generation now, the young generation? I pray that the events of this last week and a half and Charlie's death has stirred amongst our young people to start thinking and start questioning and start asking the kinds of questions that are pertinent and realizing there are answers out there, and clearly the answers are in God's word, not someone's opinion. What did God do for us? He loved us. He forgave us. He paid for our sins. He gave us another chance. He blesses us. His patience seems to know no end. How many times have you and I failed him? And he says, "Get up again. I forgive you." But he wants us to learn from what we have done, to turn, to repent. That's what it means, to turn around, do a 180. Not do it again. As I said last week, in regards to the spiritual gift of service, of serving, Jesus himself said he came not to be served, but to serve. What did God do for us? The answer is clear. In that text in Micah, where mercy is required of us, because the one who loves us is also merciful. The verse 6-8, which is a verse you've probably heard before, even if you've not heard of Micah, act justly. What's that mean, to act justly? What is fair? What is just? What is responsible? Love mercy. Here's how I explain that, love mercy. If anything is unequal, let me take the lesser. That's not the way we usually try to do it, is it? Remember when I was a kid and we're gathered around the table and I had three brothers, I wanted the biggest piece of whatever it was. But if anything is unequal, take the lesser. I'm speaking both of mercy and grace throughout this, by the way. You'll see me bounce around between mercy and grace, but they are interconnected. They are first cousins. They're blood related. They are blood related. Love mercy. Bend toward the other. You and I, just like Jesus, are not meant to look at what I can get out of life, but what I can give out of life. How I can help the other and not look at me all the time. And yet we live in a world where we're constantly being told to reward ourselves. We're constantly being told to look after ourselves. And yet in Scripture, we are called to bend toward the other. It's not our default drive. But it should be. We are called to make personal sacrifice toward the undeserving. You know, in the text, in Luke, you read the text, but I know a lot of you don't like the text because of what it tells us we should do. You know, loving your enemy, love those who don't love you, love those who have hurt you, who have harmed you, love those who are not very lovable. Yet we are called to love mercy, which brings personal sacrifice toward the undeserving. And then that verse ends with, walk humbly with God. Walk humbly with God. Knowing full well that I can't match his perfectness. I can't match his holiness. I can't match his mercifulness. I can't match any of that. But as the Holy Spirit lives within me as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm called to be like him. To be like God. And if he tells me I should show mercy, then I should show mercy. In a world today where it is so divided, when people are so angry with the other side, those of us as Christians, and by the way, you may not have the gift of mercy, but we're all called to be merciful. Remember that all these gifts, we should in some way exercise what the gift is telling us to do, but for some, it comes natural. For others, it comes very hard. For some, mercy comes very hard. I know people who are all about, and you have to realize something, in my life, earlier in my life, I was a police officer. So, some of you knew that, some of you did not. As a police officer, at the same time, I also pastored a little country church when I was at Taylor University. Can you imagine the police officer that wants justice? You did wrong, you need to go to jail. And the pastor side of me that says, if you repent, I want to show you mercy. And those two kind of fought with each other sometimes. Or the drunk in the back seat that apparently knew that I was also a pastor and said, if you're a Christian, you should really show me mercy. But they had entered into the room of some female dorm students and were about to do things they weren't supposed to do, so mercy, I guess, wasn't extended as much as it could have been. But you see our struggle, don't you? Justice and mercy. But we are to be merciful. The gift of showing mercy understood. Let me do this as we come to a close here soon. It's only understood fully and completely in light of what Christ did for us. That's the only way that you and I can really understand mercy. Because you see, we deserve death. We deserve hell because we are sinners. And sin demands payment. God is a just God. And so if, just like in the world we live in today, if you do wrong, justice is supposed to come. Someone's got to pay for that wrong. That's God in his perfection demands justice for wrongdoing. But what did Jesus do? He says, they can't pay it. I know they can't pay it, God, but I can. So that they can escape the penalty of their sin. I'll take it. You see, the penalty was bad because it was his death on the cross. He died for our sin. That was a terrible penalty, but he, fully righteous Son of God, died also as one who was fully human. He died on the cross and rose again that we could have forgiveness of our sin. It's paid for. Paid for. He showed mercy. What we deserve, we didn't get. And the opposite of that is grace. He's giving us what we don't deserve. You see how those two interplay with each other? So the gift of showing mercy is understood only in light of understanding what Christ did for us. It allows us to more easily love an enemy than others might. As the Bible says, we were enemies before we came to Christ. Forgiveness and concern are primary motivators in the exercise of this gift. That's a tough one. Forgiveness. When someone has wronged us. But we're called to forgive. We're called to forgive no matter what. Mercy seeks out the weak. Mercy seeks out the poor. Mercy seeks out the forgotten. I think included in the gift of mercy is patience. It's got to be a part of that. Here's one I want to give you as a caution, though, when it comes to the gift of mercy, some who have the gift of mercy. I call it out because I think in the body of Christ we need each other. And some who exercise one gift need to have a balance with other gifts as well. Maybe not their gift, but other people's gifts in the body. Here's what I want to share about mercy. I'm going to call it this. Mercy showers, it's been a whole lot of mercy to be sprinkled out there, may neglect the need for correction. I want you to think about this for a moment. Mercy showers may neglect the need for correction, repentance, change of lifestyle, etc., out of a desire to make one feel better. You hear that? I'm going to say it one more time. Mercy showers may neglect the need for correction, repentance, change of lifestyle, etc., out of desire to make one feel better. I admit to me who has the gift of mercy, I err on the side of mercy. But we also need to let people know the error of their ways. Don't run over the cliff, because if you do, you're going to get hurt. If you do this, or if you live this way, you are going to harm yourself and perhaps harm others. You see, if we just offer mercy and don't also give them the wisdom and the knowledge to know that the direction they may be heading is not a direction that God has for them, mercy, in a sense, has not had near its intended effect. Luke 6, 32 through 36 kind of lays the groundwork for all to practice mercy. Loving those who love you is easy. Even heathens do that. Doing good to those who do good to you is easy. Loving the unlovable is hard. Loving the enemy is hard, but you and I are called to do it. It would be best to love them before we seek to help them correct the error of their ways. And may I also say this to you, because this is a misused understanding in Christianity. Do not judge. We are called as Christians to love each other. We are called as Christians to help each other when we see we are erring in a direction that we should not be going. Because isn't that what a loving person would do to someone who's not heading in the direction they should go? We are called to do that. That's not judging, that's caring. When we start pointing fingers at other people and talk about all their bad stuff and not looking at ourselves and realizing we too are sinners who need grace and forgiveness, that's judging. There's a difference. There's a big difference. And folks, we are called to help each other out. If you see me going in a direction I shouldn't be going, as my brother or my sister in Christ, I would appreciate it if you'd tell me. And if I see you erring in a way that you should not be going in love, I hope I could tell you in such a way that you would not see it as me trying to point a finger saying you're bad. No, I'm saying I love you, and I don't want you to go in that direction. Because that's not what God wants for you. It's not judging. Folks, that's not what it means in Scripture to not judge. It's the spirit with which you address people that is judging. And there's too much of that going on in the church too, where we are. We're judging people. And instead, we ought to be loving people, being merciful to people. You know, when you're merciful to someone, they're much more willing to hear correction. They're much more willing to hear the truth when you show them that you love them and you care for them and you're showing mercy and you're showing grace like God did for us. Luke 6, 32 to 36 lays that out. Don't forget the one who showed mercy to you and me. For while we were yet sinners and enemies of the cross, Romans 5, 8 and 5, 10, what did he do for us? I'm grateful. I hope you are too. If you have the gift of mercy, be merciful, because God has been merciful. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for mercy, for without it, we're in deep trouble. We thank you for the mercy that you've shown us, the grace that you've shown us. And God, help us to show the same to others. Lord, especially in the world we live in today, rather than digging in our heels, we ought to be reaching out to those who disagree with us and saying, you know, God loves you and he cares about you. And God is merciful and grace-filled. We want you to experience God like we have experienced God. Because his grace is sufficient and his mercy is overwhelming. God, may we do that. May we reach out and evangelize a world that now, more than ever, is looking for answers. Help us, God, to use our gifts for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's turn to hymn 66 as we close our time together. To God be the glory. Would you stand with me as we sing, also up on the screen.